goes. Okay, good morning. Welcome back from the break. As Harrison said, this is preliminary. This is basically some results of essentially a quick and dirty little early investigation that Rick and I were doing. Start off talking about ITMF contamination survey. U.S. cotton has a good reputation. When they do an international survey, U.S. cotton is considered to be the cleanest cotton that you can get. That's the good news. The bad news is contamination complaints are elevated. The good news, we are recognized as cleanest. But that being said, contamination does legitimately happen. Every one of these samples is one that has entered my office in the last year from various mills. We got a little bit of orange here, a little bit of red here, a little bit of black here. There's a little bit of pink here. So, the mills are not making it up. It does happen. We've also had things like this came through. This was ended up being some asphalt or road tar or something, according to the chemist, that got onto the fiber. These bottom pictures here are from Ooster. This is part of their Classimat system, and I'll show some data from that system. And this is a system they've developed to address contamination. It's able to show polypropylene in yarns. It's able to show colored fibers that make it into yarn. And vegetable matter, everyone's favorite, grass and bark, that makes it into the yarn. Now, the mills don't leave all up to the gins. They do have equipment. If it's been a while since you've been to gin school, this is the exact same slide you saw at gin school. Stole it from Cotton Incorporated. The mills do have in their oatmeal line coarse cleaners. These are big. They're essentially cylinder cleaners, really. Then we go with fine cleaners, fine openers, and these are saw cleaners. Very similar to gin equipment. And so we're opening the cotton into small tufts and removing the trash. The last line of defense that really every mill has is the carding machine. The card is the heart of the mill. It's doing additional opening the fiber. This is where if we don't get the trash out here, it's not coming out. The only exception is for the yarns that the fiber that goes into combed yarns. We can get it out again at combing, but that's not the intent of combing. So the card is really the last line of defense, and it's the tightest settings. We've got 8 9,000ths of an inch clearance inside that machine, so it can get out most large things, but small fiber-like particles do manage to get through. At that point, we're spinning, if you remember, and for rotor spinning, which is the vast majority of the U.S., we go right up to these big packages that are ready for sale. They do make inspection systems for rotor spinning, but really no one has them because they are incredibly expensive to put one on every position in the mill. You can pay a lot of claims before you'll ever justify that cost. On ring spinning, since we have to take these small bobbins and make larger packages, you're going through a winding process. It is more common to what they call clear the yarn or inspect the yarn and remove those defects there. But that's a question. Not everyone has a clear on their winder. They're not cheap. And they have to be set right. How tight do you set them? If you set them too tight, you're going to just be cutting yarn, removing, unnecessarily. If you set them too loose, what's the point of having it? And so it's a balancing act. So on this project, I was talking to Rick, and he had done a quick trial where they had put some different plastic into the microgen, and they knew how much they put in. They knew how much came out of the different cleaning machines. They looked through the lint, and they got what they thought was all of it, and they said, a fair amount was still missing somewhere. And so I said, next time you do this, send it to me, and we'll run it all. We'll find it. If it's there, we'll find it. And so he ran 6 lots in the microgen, and they added plastic, and it was a couple different places. And he added a fair amount of plastic for the amount of cotton we're talking. And the plastics were typical shopping bag, thin plastic. Thankfully, he used a blue one so we could see it. It's a lot easier than the white ones. He used some bale bag material and also some round nodule plastics. Once it came down to our lab in New Orleans, we ran a couple additional lots. One lot with no additional contaminant as a control, and then 2 lots of that same cotton that we actually had an old yellow woven polypropylene bale bag laying around, so we cut up some pieces and added that in at the opening line, basically to simulate if the mill was to screw up taking the cover off and get some pieces of plastic into the cotton. Because again, the mill's not innocent. So this was done at our textile health plant in New Orleans, and it was done on commercial scale equipment. Our cleaning line, opening line, is exactly a commercial line. It's just like the microgen. It was made a narrow width for us, but the speeds and feeds are the same for per foot of width. We collected all the waste from every access point possible on our line. And then we took all the, a lot of times we just take a portion of the cotton and convert it to yarn for testing when we're usually doing a quality study. On this case, we actually took and ran every bit of fiber into yarn so we could find every bit of contaminant that made it through. And then we ran analysis of both the waste and the yarn. The waste analysis basically contained bringing a whole bunch of big plastic bags of waste, of fluffy waste, to my lab, putting it on the table and telling technicians, find me anything that's plastic. They don't like me much right now. The yarn, we did some additional tests, and I'll talk about, and then we're in the process of making knit fabrics out of as much of the yarn as possible to really go through and find how much of this plastic is making it all the way through. So, a little bit of an example. This is off our opening line. The very first machine we have is called an AxiFlow, and it's basically a coarse cylinder cleaner. And that's a big old chunk of yellow module wrap. The next machine we have has a spiked belt. It's called a GBRA. It's a lattice-type cleaner. And we were still getting a fair size piece of plastic out here. And then we go to our saw cleaners, and you can see these are much smaller little bits of yellow, but it's making it, this is six cleaners in. So it made it all the way down to number six. And then our card, which, like I said, that's our last line of defense. Well, this is the last place we can get at. That's a fairly sizable piece of yellow. And you can see there's a piece, there's a piece, there's a piece, there's a piece. So there was a lot making it to the card. When we actually rotor spin, there's a little fiber individualizer in there, and a lot of little dust, pepper trash gets removed there. So we collected that too, and that's this lovely dusty looking stuff. And if you look, there is a slight yellowish tint throughout that. So there were little tiny particles of plastic making it through and still being removed at the waste. Now, for the shopping bag, like I said, this is that thin plastic conventional kind of a grocery bag. Rick used a blue one. I forget which store that is. Is that Kroger? Food Line? Generic. Just generic. Yeah, so it's just that thin plastic. And this, we could actually, Rick did large pieces and small pieces. So this particular laydown was six large pieces, 8 by 20 centimeters, added at the general. And so, like I said, this was heavily, heavily dosed. But it's not hard to imagine the picker's going through the field and a bag's blown in and it gets sucked up. And so this is in about 30, 40 pounds of lint. But we could see quarter-sized pieces of plastic on the surface of the bale when we got it from Rick. Some of the big pieces came right out. Again, we were getting these little tiny pieces out of saw cleaner. There's a little tiny, tiny piece, and you'll see why that's important. So this is at the card. This is the card waste, and yeah, there's some blue in there. But this is the sliver, and this was the only one that it was, as we made it, you can see blue, blue, blue. And every time you look at this, you start to see more little specks of blue throughout this. Well, when we go to spin, about every inch of sliver becomes over 100 inches of yarn. So we're just going to spread that blue everywhere. So when we went to the rotor spinning waste, that's not a tinge of blue. That's we had a little bit of blue. It looked like we processed a Smurf or something. We were finding blue. What we did for control purposes, between each lot, we ran uncontaminated cotton. On this one, we ran two lots because blue was still coming out until the end. This is the yarn package. You can see clearly pieces of blue, specks of blue throughout the yarn package. And when we knit it, you can see it makes it all the way into the rotor frame didn't hesitate. It just ate it right up and made the yarn as if nothing was wrong. And the knitting frame didn't hesitate, but when you looked at the fabric, you can see little blue specks throughout the fabric. Like I said, this is an extreme case, but you can imagine one bag in one bale and then a 100 bale laydown. It's actually a worse problem because now you are looking for a needle in a haystack, and the knitters will find that needle in a haystack. So like I said, for the rotor spinning, there were actually no real differences in ends down. The rotor frame is an amazing machine. It'll eat anything you feed into it. And so it didn't notice a plastic as far as performance. The Classimat yarn tester, which has sensors for what they call foreign matter dark, so basically things that aren't white, foreign matter vegetable, your bark, your grass, And then it claims they have a classification of polypropylene, and really it's just a reflectance issue, so it's generic plastic with a calibration for polypropylene. And the industry standard is you test 100,000 meters. We tested 200,000 meters, and we're actually going to test more. So this is a little ugly. I'll have to explain this. I said, Rick added different types of plastic, different sizes, and in different locations, the gin roll and the lint cleaner, and then we added in the bale. ClassMat gives me way too much data. I actually showed Rick. It's a 5-page report. There's like 80 size particles for dark matter. And so I just totaled them all up. And for the dark matter, this is the percent difference off our control. So where we added yellow bale bag at the opening line in the plant, we actually had less dark matter in those runs than on the control, which kind of gives you probably 30-40% is the variance of this data. So these numbers are, you know, there's something getting through. That large piece of blue grocery bag, that would be 12,000% more dark matter in that yarn than in anything else. And then the polypropylene, this is strictly the count. How many plastic low polypropylene specks did it see in 100,000 meters of yarn? And again, 7 for the control, 3.5, 1.5. Control came out with 0. So a little bit, potentially this could be just natural variance. This could be actually from the plastic we added in. But that shopping bag plastic, it counted 48 specks out of 100,000. And we tested 200,000, so really it saw almost 100 specks in there. So the interesting thing was, you know, the module wrap, which is a concern, obviously, the large pieces were removed pretty rapidly. That very first cleaner we have, which is a very coarse, open cylinder cleaner, large pieces just dropped right out. The shopping bag, well, that was the more interesting one. Many small pieces were removed, quarter size, nickel size, dime size, and smaller. But where Rick added large pieces, they just shredded both in the gin and in our equipment into very small pieces. And those small pieces were much harder to remove. But the small pieces that Rick added, those stayed small, didn't get shredded into really small, and so they were a little easier to remove than the big pieces that became lots of little pieces. I said the bale bag, when we added at the lint cleaner, the large pieces just dropped right out immediately. We knew how much we put in, and we're still doing the weights to make sure we got all of it, but almost, I would say, 90%+ of what we added came out in the very first machine. And that's kind of a quick overhaul of kind of what we're doing and doing more work going down that way. So, thank you.
Thank you. Were there any questions for Chris?